If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Bienvenidos. This is episode 17. Wait, am I right?
17.
That's me throwing the alley-oop every time. But I actually don't know the episode until you tell me.
It's 17.
This is episode 17, Knock 'Em Out the Box. This is the Canelo Caleb Plant edition. But we're going to get into some other things first. But first and foremost, let me introduce my co-host with the co-most, the left-right-left kid, Mr. Brendan Long. What's the word, kid?
The word is that my computer shit the bed, so I'm coming to you guys live from the iPhone AirPods.
Billy, Irish Billy and I were watching you have a meltdown. It was quite enjoyable. If I do say so myself, our temperaments are very similar in where we threaten to break things or...
Yeah. If anybody's got a boat in the Great South Bay right now off the coast of Long Island, you could probably find my computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. So here we are from my... So excuse... By the way, guys, simultaneously, my microphone shit the bed. So I am coming to you from AirPods. So I apologize now for the way I sound. But apparently last episode, I sound like shit too. So I'm throwing these out. Come back next week. With new and improved equipment.
I'm a fan of the fact that both things shit the bed. I'm a big fan.
Simultaneously.
Yes. You know, whatever that joke is, you had one fucking job. And both of your things shit the bed. And me, who knows about as much about the technology as a wolf. Right.
You could be a technology dynamo with this crap equipment everyone has that they sell, you know, for whatever.
Indeed.
And even when I worked years ago in TV, my previous life, we didn't repair anything anymore. We threw it out and bought new shit. So
sure,
I guess that's what I'm going to have to do with this.
That
stuff.
Seems to be, that's definitely as far, the way equipment moves, like in music, that's how it is, man. Like,
check it out, man.
Let's go, move on.
Let's go.
So yeah, I guess we'll dive right into this, man. Our guy.
Boom, boom.
Let's talk about.
Let's save him. I want to save him.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about your guy from Long Island.
Oh, yeah. So two things. One, I want to give you props for calling this fight very, very, very. And I don't often give you props, but I want to give you props for this. I almost call him Adonis. Shakur Stevenson, Jamel Herring fight for the junior lightweight WBO championship, which happened by the time you guys listen to this, will be almost 2 weeks. Herring was clearly dominated by Shakur. Shakur fought very, very aggressively. And shit. Herring tried. He tried.
That's, I've been since episode one of this show.
Yes.
I've been critical of Stevenson. I believe the two, I don't, you know, at some point you got to stop calling guys prospects, and then you got to say, are they contenders? And then guys are champs. It's all muddled at this point, you know, as opposed to when we were younger, and it wasn't. But when they were on the come up, I said the two guys that everyone's amped about are this Michael Conlan and Shakur Stevenson. And I don't see it in either of them. This
right.
fight against Herring was the best I've ever seen.
Shakur.
Shakur look. I have things to say about that as we get into it. This kid was fighting on the inside beautifully, fighting on the outside beautifully. There was a level of aggression that I've never seen from him. Despite now what you can do and what they did, of course, with the highlights is they're showing him drop people and stuff like that. These highlights that make him look like some sort of destructive machine. But if you're a guy like you and I who have to sit through those fights, nothing could be further from the truth.
Right. Where Shakur is a very technical fighter, borderline for some folks, boring. He employs a 1-2. This was two southpaws fighting, which you don't often see.
Very rare.
And I've heard southpaws say they have trouble with other southpaws just because they don't get sparring with. They are the southpaw for sparring. To have another one is very rare.
I have a question for you that hasn't been brought up. There's not a reason for it to be brought up because of the way the fight went, but I find what you have to say will be interesting. So my prediction, I think, would have come true. Mine was that he's going to just batter him from pillar to post over 12 and shut him out. The fight was stopped late.
Stopped.
Now, my question for you, again, this was not brought up. For a little bit, Timmy and Dre talked about it. But, you know, boxing Twitter and after it has not been spoken of at all. In the moment, it was a little bit. But once Herring didn't protest, which there was zero protest, the old adage is, you let a champ go out on his shield. Shakur is not a big puncher. I was like, yo, he's laying hands on this guy.
Right.
But I certainly was not like, stop the fight. It wasn't Apollo Creed Drago by any stretch. I don't feel that Shakur, there's some argument that Shakur is growing into his manpower. His grown man power. Is there something to that? I don't know. Right. Is there something that I don't believe that he's ever going to be a puncher, and he's definitely going to go up in weight. So the more he goes up, the less of a puncher. I don't think he's definitely doesn't have one hit or quitter. Is he going to be, if he performs,
if he relentlessly beats the shit out of someone like he did, then it'll be like, he's going to get stoppages.
He's going to get those Lomachenko stoppages, those punches and bunches. But look, I don't want to be that guy that sees a beautiful performance and then goes, but I'm going to be. But
for the sake of the show, I think you should. I know where you're going.
For off rip, I thought Shakur was on another level.
You did.
It's for these smaller weights.
130, by the way.
For these smaller weights, Herring is older.
And huge.
And sucks down
a lot.
Correct, a lot. He should be at 135. If he was much younger, he would definitely eventually be at 140. Again, if he was much younger. He might even be done if he talks to his team.
Right, I remember he fought at lightweight and didn't bode well. And he's such a disciplined guy that he was a very able clean life
as a Marine and someone who lives clean and a family man and not a party guy. Those type of guys can pull off some shit that others can't. When you see Tank Davis and Adrian Broner stuffing their faces with cheese pretzels and you know, at the fights like you and I do, it's not hard to see why these guys have been missing weight their entire career. It's not something that, so, you know, a former Marine, family man, class act like Harry.
Look, let's be honest. A guy who wants to better himself, you know, he's gonna make the weight, hopefully, because he's a lunch pail guy, you know, he's gonna make the weight to get the fights, to get some cash, and he's earned quite a bit of money the last couple of years, so I'm happy for him.
I also, you know, hey man, we don't say this enough. That motherfucker was trying.
He was trying.
Do you remember, like, years ago, Teddy said something to the effect of making silent agreements? Do you know what I'm referring to?
I don't, but go ahead.
Okay, so he would, Teddy Atlas spoke of this phenomenon called a silent agreement with a fighter, where it's unspoken, but the two guys almost have an understanding what's going on and what's going to happen. And there's a silent agreement to let that play out.
Okay.
And I see it happen a lot from guys who are in there and they know they can't do enough to win. And the guy that's winning knows that he's going to win. And there's right. this silent agreement. Let's just keep this going the way it's going.
Right. And, you're saying instead of Shakur pushing the pedal to end him, I'm just going to keep.
Yes, a little bit.
Whenever you want to go, like Shakur was, he had a bit of a heel turn in the lead up to this.
He did. He did. And it's very, and again, I know we're just doing reviews here. We cover these ad nauseum, but there's a lot to cover here, B, because we've spoken about the Floyd heel turn and it's why he's worth what he's right. worth. Because when he was Pretty Boy Floyd and he was polite and
he was getting good, not great paydays.
Good, solid paydays. Dudes like us knew how good he was. Casual right. people absolutely did not. Fighting the likes of Genaro Hernandez, fighting the likes of Emmanuel Burton, a.k.a. Emmanuel Augustus. Right. Even purists, bro, were only excited for him and Corrales. That was right. a purist's fight that we right. couldn't wait for. But that right. wasn't, hey, yo, everyone's coming over my house for this type of
no, he, and he was supposed it wasn't to meet
a,
that fight.
It, he was. It wasn't until yeah. Oscar with a full-on heel turn. Well, because I mean, these...
Hold on. To me, the heel turn was the Gotti fight. And he beat the shit out of Arturo Gotti.
He did.
And he was like, I'm going to fuck this guy up. You know yeah. what I mean? And people are like, oh, no. Casuals who loved Arturo Gotti
yes.
were like, oh, no, Gotti's going to hit him once. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
it. He's going to flatline him. And I remember talking to my buddy about that fight because he got the – I believe it was like Floyd's first pay-per-view. And he ordered it. And I was like, yo, you do know this guy Mayweather is going to beat the fucking balls off of Gotti. He's like, nah, mm-hmm. man, no, fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, he got mad, like –
Yeah, see, I knew what was going to happen, but by no stretch, I was an Arturo guy. I am now. It's just my guy, but it's not right. because he was superb or better than Floyd or any no. of that. Would I have loved to see him pull something out, you know, of his ass yeah. that night? Of course. But Floyd was brilliant the way Floyd was brilliant.
Yeah. I told him, I was like, yo, man, I know you want the other guy to win.
You're right, but that's not the way this works.
I said, yo, your man's is going to get fucked up. And he was like,
oh, whoa, nah, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's
you're
this?
Fucking
your
stupid.
Man's. Your man's. What's with this? Like, you don't like Gaddy all of a sudden?
I like him. I didn't salivate over him. I love watching him.
How dare you?
Hey.
Oh.
you know what I'm saying? It was...
Let's meet in the middle here. That was right. the beginning of his heel turn. There is never a flat.
Right.
The history right. of heel turns is building up. You do something that makes you go, what did that motherfucker just say?
Right.
Well, what
right,
did right, that? Right. He went full. He right. went full Larry Zbysko on Bruno Sammartino against Oscar. And the right. build up and the all of that.
The Mexican regalia.
Yes. I mean, that's like, yo, this motherfucker is clearly friends with someone at WWF.
I don't think Shakur was like that bad, but the backstory is that these guys have been in camps together and they have video yes. of it, picture of yes. it. And I remember.
And they're both close with Bud, apparently.
Right. Which I don't know if you noticed after the fight. Bud and Herring are we're brothers, we're best friends, we're this. Post-fight, Crawford went to Shakur's side.
Oh, I noticed.
And took the picture with Shakur.
I noticed.
Like the number one finger up.
I noticed.
If that's not wrestling, like, I don't know what is. If that's not
heel work, 101.
Right. Like that's just Don King, like stepping over his like knocked out fighter, like only in America. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you like to sign with,
Yeah. I mean, you know, his face is bust up. Mel's face is bust up.
Right. And I was like, I don't know. I didn't see nothing on social about that, but I was like,
Oh, but Hey, listen, I wanted your opinion on something and we got off on a tangent like we always do because it's our nature. It's the Paisaninus.
Right. Oh.
All right. This is why it's not going to be spoken about. And I guess I think I know that it's what you're going to say to me. Because he didn't protest.
Right.
Do you, if someone, I'm such an idiot. I don't know how to say this right. Once there's no protest, do you just put your hands up and go, whether I thought that was early or not, it's of no consequence because there was no protest? Because regardless of the fact that he didn't protest, I was, for in the moment, I was like, oh, now, you give me a couple minutes, not even that, 90 seconds, and I wrap my head around it because you know how split-second boxing is, bro. It's very emotional,
I'm glad you asked this. I'm glad you asked this, and I'm going to explain myself now because this weekend I heard people complaining about the Jamal James stoppage.
Okay.
So I'd rather see things stopped a bit early than a bit late.
You'd rather err on the side of caution.
Right. Now, I'm not talking about British stoppages, like where there's like one big punch landed in the third round. They're like,
You know?
And you're like, what the fuck? And they're like, and of course, if it's their guy, they're like, no, mate, he was going to die. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen his eyes and he was going to die. You know, and you're like, relax, buddy. It's boxing.
You know, I'm getting lots of messages from fans about they love your impersonation. And then I write back, it's so terrible. I cut a promo on you.
Why did you do that? Everybody loves it. It's funny.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's the best. So nothing Jamel Herring could have done, you know, save for a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth with two outs, right, on Shakur, would have won him that fight, which I don't think he was going to land on Shakur. He wasn't landing all night. So I have no issue with the stoppage. I had no issue with the stoppage. I wasn't screaming, stop the fight, which sometimes when you and I are watching simultaneously, I'll text you like, yo, stop this fucking fight. What the fuck? The guy's going to get hurt. No. So in this instance, I err on the side of caution. I have no issues with stopping the fight. And again, I'm not in there listening to the sound of the punches and how they're connecting like a referee. Yes. And I'm also not, because we are removed via TV screen, I am not there studying the body language. You know what I mean?
Now, I do.
Referees who I've spoken to, and I'm not going to name their names. It's just guys we're having a beer, say at Jimmy's or a beer after the fight, you know?
Yeah.
And these aren't guys that stop fights. And when they stop, I talked to them like, and they said, oftentimes a fighter will give me a look out of the corner of their eye and they'll look at me. And when they start to do that, or they look towards their corner, they keep looking towards it. They don't want to quit because they don't want to quit, but they're looking for help. And he said, two guys said this because they were together. When a fighter is looking for, and I'll tell you off air who they were, and then you're going to laugh at these two guys.
I'll tell you someone who I spoke to, but I won't say the things that they said with you. I know why you're not saying the names, because you're saying what they told you. Right. I can say someone who shed a lot of light on what we're talking about to me, and it was very enlightening. It was very enlightening because we don't get in that squared circle. You and I can still learn every day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
From these guys. So go ahead.
When they feel two things. So this is what it said to me. When I feel a fighter is looking for help, I stop a fight and I've gotten criticized for it. And when I feel a fighter isn't cognizant enough to look for help.
Right.
I stop a fight.
Where I just have a point
unpopular,
to make.
Unpopular stoppages. And then of course he got into like, you know, when the guy's eyes are rolling back in his head.
Of course.
Shit.
Step to the left, step to the right, come for it. Are you okay? And they grunt or they're wobbly when you say, are you okay? Yeah. Or it's
walk
it's,
to the wrong corner.
Walk to the wrong corner. I just want to say real quick, really, really quick. We're not getting into it at all because it's not what this show's about. Really quick, way before the destructive one-hitter quitter, way before that, Deontay Wilder was way worse off than Herring was when that when Herring was
correct.
Okay,
correct.
That is
so
all of you people out there have to take all of these things into consideration when these big fights. You know, what was Herring Stevenson as big as that? No, not the heavyweight champion in the world, but these are still big fights. Just because you might be a casual fan to it, this is an old warrior at 30 against a young lion who's going to go to 30 and try to unify. This meant a lot for the division and for the potential unification of the division. I felt it was premature, but that's all negated by Mel not having a problem with it.
Right.
You know, but you and I are allowed to talk about what we're talking about because we're not part of this commission. We don't work for these guys. We have a show. We can do whatever the fuck we want. I wonder, you know, if you bumped into him on the island, would he say, and you just talked to him like, yo, you know, because he's such a classy guy, too, on top of all that. I also think.
I think he lives in Cleveland, though, so the chances of me seeing him are.
Yeah, that would mean you'd have to go to fucking Cleveland.
The Cleve.
Yeah. Listen. I feel
Cincinnati.
Like
he lives in Cincinnati. Maybe.
He's the type of guy that is going to give you the ref's got to do his job, similar to Jamal James, who was very classy about it.
Yep.
And that was, you know, and that was early too.
I didn't think that was early because that I thought Jamal James was worse off than Mel.
I don't think either one of them should have been stopped. So I'll give you that.
And I have no problem with either stoppage. I don't know. You know,
very hard to say when I got, look, Jamal James was certainly like, look, man, hats off. That guy was tough as nails. You know what I mean? I'm going to be back. He was classy. He certainly was not in there crying and bitching.
But again, he looked like he wanted out. And when he put his arm around the referee right at the stoppage.
And no, man, look, there's silent agreements. There's silent. There's silent. You can give in silently without saying, I'm done. Even if it's under your breath, telling your corner, no one wants to be known as doing that.
So let's get into two. I was two fights that that needed no referee intervention at all. the Jose Zepeda Josue Vargas fight, which again, back to two episodes ago, where when we talked about Canelo and Plant fighting at the press conference. These two camps fought at the weigh-in. And I don't know if you guys saw the fight. There was a lot of shin kicking going on. So I was confused.
Yes.
About the shin kicking.
Hey, B. you know, before, have we discussed in the 16 previous episodes something called the curse of the Boricua beard?
The Boricua beard?
Yes. Your wife and her family are going to kill me. My friends already want to kill
me. Let me tell you something.
You know I was firing off the knockouts to everyone.
All my
fam is Boricua. So you know the texts were being fired off.
All I'll say is my wife's family, they all sleep like babies, okay?
They
have no problem. And they all sleep in.
Something tells me you were on FaceTime after these KOs with some. Oh, hey, real quick. I might
be guilty of.
I think we might. I think
hijacking my wife's FaceTime by screaming.
By putting that ugly mug in there and screaming.
And then just sort of faking like I was falling asleep. And I said, hey, you guys are used to this. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bumped into something and I got knocked out.
As I say to my friends, fill in the blank of the name because I don't want to use children's names. Yo, when blank gives you a kiss goodnight, does that just knock you right out? If it's anywhere near your chin? Hey, B, before we do this, because this is great stuff that we have here. If Shakur Stevenson fights that way against the top guy, you're going to see a shift in my... I believe he let his hands go, fought on the inside, fought beautifully on the outside. He threw a straight short left. And you know that looping right that Golovkin throws around their guard?
Yes, almost yes. Around. Yeah, around the high guard.
He was throwing that with as a left, along with the straight. He was confusing the shit out of him, fighting on the inside, moving his hands, throwing tons of punches. But it's my belief that he did that because he and his team knew that he was that much better than her.
I two things. That, and look, this has gotten a very positive response.
Correct. Okay?
This is prime time fighter material.
Correct.
Because he had some stinkers, some big time stinkers.
I have no
ESPN.
Problem saying he fought beautifully. None. He was beautiful.
No, he fought
the best of his career. The best of his career.
I won't denigrate his performance. You and I have talked about this, and did he look great, or did he look great against an old fighter with, you know, a decent bit of miles on him? It doesn't matter. This was a world title fight on a big stage, and he kicked the shit out of him. He did what he was supposed to do. So I think we are going to see a shift here in how Shakur Stevenson fights.
I like that prediction because I don't. So I'd like to see how this plays out.
All right.
I think who's the dude he hates? Like for real, for real. Doesn't the other guy that's got the strap that he that they want to make that fight? Anyway.
Look,
real guys, you're predicting because of the positive feedback.
Yeah,
what that means is money. What that means is. Bigger fights on bigger platforms.
Then it's also what it means is what it appears to be, and I don't know about you, success.
Correct.
Right? And he was successful with it. So if you find something that you're successful with in anything, you're going to utilize it. You're going to exploit it.
I think that it's I was just going to use the word easy, and we never use that word on the show when it comes to what these men do. I think it's very convenient to pull out every tool in the toolbox against a fading, drained guy that I at no point did I ever think he was great. I thought he's a real solid guy.
He's a workman lunch pail type. That's how I described him. He's probably the weakest belt holder in that division.
And a huge factor to me before we move on to the Boricua beard is he very early felt what Mel had and said, I'm gonna bang with this guy. Hey, yo,
right?
I could sit on the inside, I can pep him from the outside, I can bang on the inside. He's not going to hurt me, and I think that's a huge factor. And we won't know until we know. So I'm interested. I hope you're right and I'm wrong. There's those times where we want to be wrong. I want to be wrong and I want you to be right.
I don't think he's going to turn into Golovkin, but let's use an example.
Yeah.
Loma was in a few stinkers, right?
Yeah.
I think on the Floyd Pacquiao undercard, he didn't look spectacular, and then almost changed his style a bit and was much more aggressive, moved up and was aggressive.
Yeah.
So he was utilizing his speed as a smaller guy at 35 to be more aggressive. Usually guys start to move around and they fight more defensively. Loma did the opposite. He said, all right.
I mean, it sounds like excuses, but I think when you have 400 amateur fights, there's a tendency to need a few. To say, this is the style I have to implement.
Right, but hang on. Let me finish my thought.
Sorry.
It's all right. What I'm getting at is, I think Loma didn't, to your point about the 400 fights, Loma says, I have a short time here, in this window where I'm going to be able to earn money. What do these guys, they want to see, they want to see.
What do they want?
They want to see Pacquiao as shit. I don't have the personality or the energy, and a lot of guys have said this, to be Floyd before the fight and then get into a fight and sort of stink it out, which you can do. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to do that for an entire round of press conferences, be like Floyd, which is aggressive, and then turn around and be defensive in the ring.
Oh, it's brass balls.
Right. So for Loma, it's like, all right, I'll be the strong, silent type, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then and when we're in the ring, my, you know, in-ring actions are going to speak for.
Yeah, I'm of also, course.
I don't have a great handle on the English language. I can speak English, but it's not great. Same as Golovkin. You know, he doesn't really talk shit. It was just like, look, this is the sport I like. He's a good boy. Blah, 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 blah. That was his, like, I'm going to sun you. Well, and then get in there and beat shit up.
The interesting thing of Golovkin is his grasp, his lack of grasp on the language sort of turned him into a star. And endearing, I think would be the word to people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He made himself endearing, the smile that he looks, I mean, you know, parted hair and khakis. And then the guy's Michael Myers. There's a story there. We know that that's what this sport is about. It's why we both agree with Floyd with the heel turn. You know what I mean? So this all goes back to what you're saying with Shakur. If he sees this is that thing, because everyone needs a thing.
And again, it's not just Shakur. Don't forget, there's a whole team behind him that they're going to say, look, this was successful. If he's got it, you know, his trainer, who I believe is his grandfather, is going to say, look, this worked. We like this. Let's put another opponent for this defense. Maybe we'll take a mandatory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll try to employ this style again.
Right.
Again, we're not going to be Deontay Wilder, for lack of a better term, right? We're not going to be one punch destruction, but we're going to be even if it's a hair more aggressive. And in the past, when Shakur was more aggressive, those are the highlights that you're talking about that they showed.
Of course.
Again, he has found success being that way. And then they erred on the side of caution in other fights, and it's a stinker. Yeah, he'll stink out a fight. He's good enough to do that. All right.
So look at those flashes of brilliance we saw, and I know that you're going to roll your eyes that I use that word with this person. Those flashes of brilliance we saw from a lightweight Broner when he would move his hands, and then you watch him now.
I'm not. Yeah, I don't roll my eyes.
Still an athletic guy that just refuses to move his hands. And the thing you brought up, I think, in like three episodes in a row. Yo, when do I think a guy might quit? When the shots are there and he's just not letting them go.
Right. That's my barometer.
Soft, man. And he's just not. And then he'll rip off a five combination and they're crisp and sharp.
Yeah.
And he won't do anything for three more rounds.
For three more rounds. Right.
Something is there. And I think that point that you made, it's good that we learn from each other. But I remember when you said that, I go, I never really thought about that. This guy looks in shape. He there's nothing wrong. He's not getting knocked out. You know, Broner's got an amazing chin. You know,
a big example of that. And just before we move on, because I don't want to get hung up on that. Is if you look at a later career, Oscar was the same thing. It's like the shots are there and he's not. Sugar Ray Leonard, same thing. Guy come into a fight looking, again, these guys also had long layoffs. But again, these are easy for those of you out there that want to watch old. I don't know if you why you'd want to tune in to watch Hall of Famers get the shit kicked out of them. But if you guys want to see what I'm talking about, I'll tell you the fights. Ray Leonard versus Terry Norris and Oscar versus Manny. And you can see that the openings are there and they can't close that opening. And Ray Leonard and Terry Norris is like a heartbreaker. So unless you guys really want to get out there and watch that fight's a heartbreaker.
Look, for what it's worth, my brother and I were laughing pre-Pacquiao and Oscar talking about how just quickly he was going to dispose of Pacquiao.
So let's talk about a better example than Loma is Pacquiao. As Pacquiao moved up, he utilized instead of being a defensive guy, he became more offensive, right? Mm-hmm. His defense was his offense. Instead of floating around the outskirts of the ring, if Shakur decides to do something like that, again, he's not going to do it with certain guys, right? But I think they might be onto something here. So we'll see. I don't know. Again, we'll have to see how this plays out. I like
real Shakur. Quick, I think Pacquiao implemented a few other things too as he moved up, if you know what I mean.
I do. Mm-hmm. And another fight, real quick, to the last point, was shit. I mean, Pacquiao Margarito could have been stopped, and they didn't stop that fight.
Yes, you know, yes.
That was way worse than what we saw
the
other night. But anyway, all right, moving on.
All right, let's talk about Carlos Caballo, Jonas Sultan. Caballo, undefeated Puerto Rican, the favorite. Jonas Sultan, Filipino guys under Manny Pacquiao Promotions.
Caballo seems to have been afflicted with the same deficiency.
Correct. He was dropped 478 times.
It's bad plantains on the island?
Yes.
Or there's something in the pateles that is...
I think it's Reina de Papa.
Bad mofongo,
right,
will cause you need a sturdy chin.
A brittle chin. So he comes in, he's the favorite. He gets dropped 497 times in the fight. The scorecards come in, and Sultan wins by 1 or 2 points. In, I can't tell you how bad that scorecard was, and this is one that if it didn't go the right way, when you and I keep telling people, stop calling things a robbery, stop calling things
a robbery. This would have been a robbery.
Bro, this is a correct scorecard. And I think it should be, robbery wouldn't be wrong because they didn't steal anything from him, but they did steal rounds from him.
A correct decision and a robbery scorecard.
That's correct. Mean, right? Correct.
Yeah.
The decision was, I didn't believe it was all three cards were 95-93, and he knocked them down five times.
This is like we filled it out for Caballo first.
Beforehand. And then we have to erase it for these.
The eraser's not fucking working. You know what I mean?
Now, I don't know if it was Timmy Bradley or Dre Ward that said, there is no way you can knock someone down that many times in a fight and have the scores be that close, even if the other guy was winning the other rounds.
Again, this stuff, and I don't want to dwell on this. I think you and I could do a completely separate segment someday about commission reform, but immediately yank these people. So why do these guys keep getting assignments and the promoters pick the judges? So the commission needs to step in and say, we're not going to.
Right. And absolutely. Caballo, undefeated kid from the island. We got a couple, nice weekend prospects right now. Verdejo just caught a body literally. So they're trying to fill. Yeah. His life is over. Not just his boxing career. They got Berlanga, who I think people are, well, not people, but you and I are like, that kid got touched a little bit. You better settle down with this. They were talking Canelo a couple of months ago, and now he's dropped by guys that are hovering around.
Was he born over there, or is he a Brooklynite?
He definitely reps BK. I mean,
I don't know if he's I don't know if he's like from. He's Puerto Rican. Let's just say of Puerto Rican descent.
Right.
He may be afflicted.
So that was the afflicted. So the Carlos Caballo and Jonas Sultan was on the undercard of Jose Zepeda
and Josue Vargas,
a Rican from the Bronx who was talking a lot.
Yo,
I'm talking crazy.
Greasy. This guy.
Zepeda was in a fight of the year in 2020 during COVID in the bubble against Baranchik. It was knockout of the year, round of the year, and fight of the year. So I know you're always recommending things. Watch Jose Zepeda Baranchuk.
And watch Jose Zepeda, Jose Ramirez.
Yes.
Because a lot of people call that a robbery.
Yes.
In favor of Jose Ramirez.
Yes.
That was a good fight. So Zepeda is the goods. So
but Jose like you Vargas, said about like you said about Herring, I look at Zepeda as a lunch pail guy too. Even though I the skills are more elevated, but he is he's not one of those. Bro, there's just these dudes who are freaks athletically. The Roys. Right. The Floyds, the Lomachenkos.
He's not that.
Right. I mean, bro, these people, someone like with Adrian Broner's athleticism, you know, I'm not talking about greatness as a fighter. The God-given athleticism, the people would kill for Broner's God-given athleticism. And he's blowing it. You know what I'm saying?
He blew
You're blowing it, kid. You're blowing
he
it.
He blew it, yeah. So,
he got sparked the fuck.
So
out.
as you guys at home know, and Vinny knows, if there's competing cards, I will watch simultaneous. I have my phone up, I'll have the TV up. So simultaneous, almost like within 30 seconds, and we'll get into this fight quickly after this. The Boots Ennis Tomas Delorme fight. Delorme also from Puerto Rico, also suffering from this affliction.
This curse, if you will.
We don't know that from the bad mofongo.
Will we be fighting people at every when COVID passes?
I don't know. I think I just got uninvited.
Where's more likely that we're gonna have to square up? The Garden, Barclays, so, Atlantic City, or Philly?
All of them.
We're in trouble in all of them, I think.
Yeah. Right. My wife is next to me on the couch and she's on a FaceTime with her best friend that she grew up with, who is from the same island. Well, by way, she's of Puerto Rican descent by way of Brooklyn. So I'm watching this and I went up. And then as soon as I believe the Jose Vargas got knocked out right after. So they're counting Delorme and Vargas gets dropped and I start screaming into the FaceTime. And then
that's beautiful.
And then I turned the phone around. I grabbed the phone from my wife and I put it up to the TV and I was like, both of them, good night. Good night. Mm-hmm. I said, all Puerto Ricans need to go to bed now. I said, that's mm-hmm. that and I got screamed at, yelled at.
Of course.
Anyway, so both in round one.
Well, let's wrap up. One Vargas? And move on to the other. Jose Vargas is trash. He's done. Zepeda, look, man. Josh Taylor. What do you think about that? I mean, Josh Taylor is really good, man. He's in our top 10. He's in our top 10.
So is excuse me. Is Taylor moving to 47? Or is he's gonna hang around 40?
Well, I think when I saw him interviewed after he unified, it was sort of like, will you go up or like what will you go up for?
For
and it seemed like, yo, I'll go up for butt. I'll go up for butt. And that's not happening. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So basically what we have here is, okay, for whatever reason, people are excited about Bud Porter and you and I don't get him. Anyway. I said on the show, I'm not positive Errol Spence ever comes back. Or he will come back against a relatively soft touch and won't be the same. Neither here nor there. Let's just say the next thing for Bud, right, isn't Errol Spence in 2022. You good over there?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
If Bud Spence is not next in 2022, right? I think if you're Bud, what is there?
Right.
Josh Taylor is great, you know?
Right.
The unified guy, top pound for top 10, pound for pound, not in the division.
So
make that fight if you don't make the Spence fight, which, like I said, I'm not convinced about any of this, B. When he pulled out of the Pacquiao fight, the fight after, The accident well, Vin, where Vin, everyone
he,
said...
Vin, he may not get licensed.
Oh, I'm agreeing.
Right.
With me saying he might be done, there's a variety of ways in which it could be commissions. Now, can they go to fucking Minnesota and get him a license? Probably.
Right. Yeah.
And will a scumbag like Heyman allow that? Probably. Aaron would too. $25-30 million purse. No one's above any of this. But you and I, like, kind of as things move on and things have changed and the accident, I know you and I are like, this fight ain't happening. Or it's going to be.
I honestly don't think we get it.
To me, if it does, it's going to be Pacquiao Mayweather all over again. Bud,
underwhelming older guys.
I think Bud is 36, 37. If it happens, you know, he's 34.
If he doesn't get knocked off, I mean, look, Bud is 34. He's got. I don't think Sean Porter will beat him, but when you fight Sean Porter, you don't come out of that fight unscathed, no matter what. He's a rough customer. And again, I don't want to deep dive into that.
No, because we're going to deep dive into that because I disagree with you. So I can't wait to deep dive into that.
Right. But what I'm saying is I don't think Sean Porter beats Bud. But again, it's still a tough fight. If regardless, you're in a fight with Sean Porter, it's a tough fight. He headbutts, he elbows, he's dirty. So at 34-year-old Bud, who doesn't move as well, who is, you know, naturally a smaller guy weight-wise, will a fight like that affect him in the fight after that fight?
And B, that's why I said, when I said, what does Bud do? There is, well, not there is, right. But right. Going to 54 isn't really like
no,
that.
No. I honestly don't think we see him go there. So
no, neither do I. So to me, where does that leave you? You got those, that pack of dudes that are all like solid. And then you got these dudes that we're about to talk about, these upcoming dudes who are potential killers. But
there's one guy that we're going to talk about right now, and I kind of want to segue into this.
Let's go, because he is both of our favorite fighter that people don't know about.
He's my favorite fighter right now. And I was talking to your man, who's now become my man, correct?
Yes.
And we talked at length about this dude the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him, and I agree with you. And this is going to be a bold statement, and you're going to hear it right here. And I want to have him on the show, by the way. Correct. And I'm going to make a bold statement that him and I talked about. I think Boots is the best fighter at 47 in the world.
He thinks he is too. Right. I said right now, meaning the day of that fight, I said I think he beats everyone at 47 except Bud. And I didn't say he will lose to Bud. I just meant I think safely he beats everyone at 47. Correct, and I got into not a tip, but he was like, I think he beats Bud too. And I was like, no. I didn't say he doesn't. I'm saying I'm willing to put racks on him at anyone at 47. I'm saying he fights Bud this weekend. I got to think about it and say, okay, what has he seen?
That's
what
fair.
Looks has he seen? What skills, talent, all of that, you know what I mean? Prime age, all of that goes to him. You know what I mean? But there's an experience. Size. But there's an experience.
He's also big.
He's a big kid. There's experience there. There's big fight experience there that people don't put much stock in, but I do. There's getting caught up in the moment. There's overtraining. This kid
doesn't seem like any of that stuff affects him. He's got, first of all, he's articulate. He's composed. He's good looking. I said, put this motherfucker on a box of Wheaties.
You did. Know what I mean? You texted me that exact sentence.
He is from a fighting city. He is from one of America's favorite cities, which is Philadelphia. People love Philly. People love a Philly story. You know what I mean? It's just one of those, again, we talk about like lunch pail kind of thing. It's a blue collar city. It's a blue collar East Coast city. It's an underdog city.
Yeah.
So all these little things here And again, guy gives a great interview. Post-fight, he goes right back ringside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Post-fight, he's talking to fans. This kid loves it. He seems he's from a fighting family. His father trains him.
His brothers both fought.
He
helps kids in the gym. They live in the gym.
Like they like each other.
They love
each other. This is not like, I mean, you can love someone and not like them.
Of course. No, but we're not dealing with Floyd and Floyd Sr.
Right, but this is why I said they seem like they like each other. Like these dudes, they're giving an interview, like they're chilling. Mm-hmm. This seems like a nice, happy family that can beat the fuck out of people. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what's dangerous, B? No. You know what's very dangerous, B?
Pops looks tough, too.
You know what's dangerous? A really good fighter that loves it, that loves being in there, right, that loves doing mitt work, that loves sparring, that you have to drag out of the gym. It's very similar. I'm not talking about styles, I'm not talking about personalities, but Philly's own Tevin Farmer is very similar. I mean that work ethic. I'm just saying it's a Philly thing to be a gym rat and to look, what you said to me about, look, he's a good looking kid. He's articulate. He's a good kid. Comes from a good family, etc. I'll tell you what I said the day of the fight to people to tune into him. I try to, we don't have a podcast every day. So we have to communicate through social media to our listeners and say, I said, look, you guys a lot of you guys don't know about this kid. I saw him in 2016. At the ECW arena. It was sixth fight. Look, there are these fighters. You and I talked about it when we talked about what great means. And right. and that word being thrown around because we were talking about it with music. This guy's a GOAT. This guy's a legend. Da 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 da. And it's like, settle down.
Calm down, buddy.
And then and it's like, yo, you could say terrible Terry Norris was a great fighter. But then there's someone who's a great fighter who's like, fucking
10 times better than
Joe Gans. Like there's just sometimes it's hyperbole, whatever. But what I said was, I've seen a lot of fighters. I've seen a lot of great fighters in my lifetime. And outside of our lifetime, we have film, you know what I mean? Up into a certain place. And I said, I've seen not many special ones. And I think we're watching a special fighter, and there was some backlash, not directly to me, but some backlash of, you're crowning this kid too early, and I don't think this many fights of doing what he's doing in there and the tools. Bro, let me tell people out there, Tomas Delorme was once a huge prospect.
Look,
what he did to Sergey Lipnets, Mikey Garcia couldn't do. And this is when everyone was on Mikey Garcia's dick. Now there seems to be backpedaling. Let's keep things in its proper perspective. Now, after the loss, Mikey Garcia's loss, which we didn't even cover that on the last episode. But I'm saying, let's forget that. Look, that's a bad loss for him. But whatever, give or take.
He keeps having these Muhammad Ali layoffs. I mean,
yes. It's in those cases, man, it's very hard for me to feel sorry for you. But at any rate, the Spence loss, people were kind of giving him he went up and he went up and he went up and he didn't get knocked out. And let's see what happens when he either fights someone else, goes back down, et cetera, et cetera. And it was very underwhelming. And even if you think that he won that fight, it was very underwhelming, that performance.
Which fight?
His loss.
Oh.
His people loss a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think he won that fight.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was a mailed in performance. And I think when you mail it in and you don't get the nod, I'm not really going to get involved with how I scored it. I'm going to kind of go, hey, man, like,
you didn't try.
You didn't do what you're capable of doing, or you don't love this as much as you say you do it, whatever may be the case. Right. But Boots is to whoever, I saw some detractors saying that this motherfucker is ready. And whatever that means, B.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you pronounce homeboy's name. Is Butaev? Butaev? Yeah. I mean, okay, like, let's make that, I guess. But there's a lot of guys. You and I spoke over the phone about we think his manager is Cameron Duncan. So he can cross the street.
His manager and promoter is Cameron Duncan.
So that means he can cross the street.
Started D&D Promotions, which again, this is also to me a sort of savvy move on his part, which looks like they are looking for the availability to do that. Exactly what you said, cross the street and fight across promotion.
Let's explain really quick to people who haven't listened to all the other episodes what that means. Look, guys, a lot of times you'll hear us say, why isn't this guy fighting this guy? And you're probably saying out there, why don't they just make the fight? People are with different promoters, and these promoters don't want to work with each other because they don't want to share any of the money because they're greedy animals. So Aram's a greedy animal. Eddie Hearn's a greedy animal. Heyman's a greedy animal. So what you have here is then there's these guys who will tell their promoter, make the fucking fight, man.
Right.
There are guys who can do it. Yo, look, respect to them. Fury and Wilder.
And Wilder.
I'll
say that's probably because it's only the heavyweight division.
Agree. You know, and there's so much money. There's so
much fucking money.
There's so much. No, you're talking about what, 60, 70, 80 million dollars.
Right.
You know, who's going to sit there and bicker about that? But when it's a $5-6 million purse, these guys want to keep it all and have them fight each other. You know, there was that run, 4-5 years ago, even 2-3 years ago, where Heyman had all these guys that were just round robbing them all, and each make 2-3 million, and hey, $6 million, and I keep all of this. Why not? You know, and no one would fight Bud. And now he's 34, and Porter's gonna fight him. But this is all a direct result of what B and I say is not willing to cross the street. It's why you haven't seen this fight yet that we don't think is gonna happen.
So let's just talk about the fight real quick because it was short. And I just want to talk about some of the, again, Boots comes out, orthodox, switches to southpaw. He's like in Bud. He's a switch hitter. He says he was working on it. By the way, Delorme is protesting the fight because he got hit in the back of the head.
So good luck.
So Delorme bends real low at the waist and turns his head. Now, I also wanted to talk about this real quick. Find out what your opinion was, and I'm glad we got into it. When a fighter does something that is himself in bad position, and the other fighter takes advantage of it, I have no issue with the other fighter taking advantage of that. Like, if you turn your back on me, I'm going to punch you in what's available. This is what we do here. We punch. So I'm going to punch you in the back of the head if you turn your head. If you bend at the waist all the way down to my knee, I'm going to tomahawk chop your fucking head, which is what the first knockdown in that fight Boots did. Delorme was equilibrium shot. He was looking off into the crowd at his corner. In fact, I actually thought they were going to stop it at the first knockdown. I'm glad they didn't, because what we saw after that was just levels. When they talk about levels. And I also want to preface this. We spent a lot of time talking about my analysis. I mean, and the how great of a win this is for Ennis. Delorme's lost his last three, okay, including this fight.
Yeah.
He's old. He's been hurt. He's been knocked out. He's not as old
as people are thinking he is, though.
I mean, old for fighting.
If you mean Shopworn, absolutely.
Yeah, he's got 6 losses. In not a very long career, lost 3 in a row, including this fight. So anyway, what I'm getting at is
he hasn't been stopped in 6 years.
Boots now in a southpaw stance. Delorme has regained consciousness, I guess you want to call it, or his equilibrium.
Yeah,
Delorme threw two really hard punches while Boots was, what I like to call, taking some to give some.
Yeah.
He caught Boots twice in that southpaw stance. And
he caught him with a nice right hand.
Yeah, nice right hand. And shook it off. It's fine. Yep. One of my buddies pointed out to me, he said, you know, do you think his defense is leaky as a southpaw? And I didn't respond to him about this. I wanted to save it for the show. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, orthodox fighters who switch hit, their defense is always leaky as a southpaw.
Sure.
So you are accustomed to fighting and seeing punches coming at you one way. Most really good fighters can switch to southpaw from holding mitts, from doing this, from doing that, and they can look good offensively. It's when that shit's coming back at them. It's almost like switch stance skateboarding. You know, it's not as good as their regular stance, but they can look great doing it to the average guy.
Sure.
But there are little things that I don't know if Boots would switch hit against a guy of a really high caliber. You know, I think maybe he may stay a little bit more conservative. So with that said, Delorme catches Boots. Boots stays right in the pocket. Delorme then throws what appears to be like a decoy jab, sort of to set up the right hand again. And Boots catches it with, and then throws a 2-3-2 combo that is a highlight reel fucking knockout. Absolutely. It was gorgeous. So with Boots' lead hand, which is his right hand, he catches the jab. And fires right back with the two, which from the southpaw stance is the straight left. And then the three, which is the hook, and then a two right behind it. And I watched it and I was just like, oh.
Oh, yeah, man. It was so pretty.
It was so pretty. Just gorgeous. And and if you guys follow me on Instagram, I posted the Lipinets KO because I love that setup and that sequence as well. But this was another sequence which you guys will see in my Instagram stories because it was beautiful. It was gorgeous.
Same thing with me. It was in my stories too.
Yeah. So Boots, sky's the limit. He dispatched with Delorme. No more guys coming off of two losses anymore for him. Let's see him in there with we'll get into this later, but Boots called out the whole division, which I thought was great.
And
then got laser focused when they said, can you think of one name? And he said, well, I'm ranked third in the IBF and Spence is the belt holder. So Spence, because that's the most likely, you know.
Yep.
But by the way, guys, our guy who you and I also really like, and I think we have him just a tick below Boots at 47. Is Virgil Ortiz, who's ranked, by the way, guys, fourth by the IBF. So,
I mean, you want to talk about a fight. I mean, they're not going to make it, but you want to talk about a fight.
See, man. Now, in a perfect world, what they would do is have these two guys, a la Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns, who were around the same age when they fought for the first time, fight.
Yeah.
And, of course, boxing politics will keep that. That won't happen, but it's just a fantasy and a wet dream at this point. But
yeah,
anyway, do you have anything to add Boots Delorme fight?
Look, man, I just think I think when you look at someone like Boots, who does things so beautifully, and the way he sets up his punches,
right,
then there's also something about adding to that that he can crack. It's very scary. Not for me. It's very scary for all those dudes at 47. So I
didn't tune in to the social media aspect, but typically when a guy runs down the names of like the top 10 and says, I want everybody, one of these guys will jump on social media and be like, well, motherfucker, if you want it, come get it and tag the guy, you know, but did any of that happen?
No.
Yeah.
I just want to make a point. Let's just Boots being as good as he is, right, is a strange prediction. Might force Bud and Spence because like, I'd rather fight him than this motherfucker.
I think you and I said that with the Ortiz with one of the Virgil Ortiz fights. We said the same thing. Like Ortiz calling out Bud, you know, ringside, or saying like, I'm all for the fight.
Right. Because I might as well, if I got to fight a dog, I might as well chase that bag. Right, I'm not fighting a mill to fight this maniac. like, at least let me get, look at this guy. I'm going to fight this guy. This guy's parrying, countering, and dropping dudes from a switch. He's switching stances and doing this.
Right.
Then he's putting together this fluidity. You never, ever, ever see someone that's as fluid as Boots with destructive power.
No.
It's always these lumbering guy. There's very few beautiful, like the, you know, it's always these Herman Munster-esque, triple G shots that are destructive.
He's poetry in motion, is what
there's
he is.
There's these beautiful fluidity, and he's flying people's heads. And
he's
special. He's special.
He is special. He's fun to watch.
But I think we should move on to this weekend,
to the main course,
and to the main course,
to steak,
and that is Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant. Alvarez, Canelo has
all the marbles.
Canelo has the ring, WBC, WBA, WBI, WBO, and Caleb Plant somehow has the IBF while having fought no one, still fighting no one of note. He's got a really big mouth. Everything about him is every personality trait that he has are those of fighters that I can't stand. I've watched him his whole career. I can't stand him. I never shifted. I never said, oh, maybe I'm wrong about this kid. Nothing. Now what happens with those people are when you're nutcases like us who are watching Showbox at 11 at night on a Friday night, you get to know these people. But now he's been giving a stage for being a bozo, you know. And
my deal with him, I think, and not liking him starts with his nickname. I thought was like dead whack.
Oh my god!
I was like,
it's so embarrassing.
I was like Sweet Hands, and I was like,
it's so embarrassing. This, you know.
And there were, I think it was a Showbox card. Maybe it was like his 14th fight or something like that, 12th fight, one of the preliminary style fights, like an 8-rounder. And he basically just jabbed. Like those fights, you're supposed to showcase all your arsenal.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, your toolbox, you're supposed to get in. And he jabbed off the back foot, just like this, like rapid fire jab for like 3 rounds straight. And like, it was a decision.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck was that? I remember being like annoyed, like, yo, they gave this dude, you know what I'm saying? Like he was like a co-feature on a Showbox, and I can't remember who, and I'm not going to research it. So if you guys out there want to research it for me, you can DM me or whatever, or write KOTBboxing@gmail.com and tell me what fight it was. But it was like, it annoyed me. And then I believe they criticized him after the fight, you know, in the interview. I think it was like Barry Tompkins. And he was just sort of like unapologetic about it. Typically, a guy with a hair of humility would be like, yeah, you know, we had a whatever. They'll at least have an excuse or just say, trying to do my best out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he had some like smart ass answer. And I'm not, again, not to pile on him. I'm just not a big fan of his. I have, however, appreciated his style more. In the last few years, I will stick by this and I will say this: he is the kind of guy that would rather throw a 6 to 8 punch flashy. He's talented, no doubt. He's athletic, no doubt. He throws 6 to 8 punch combinations with no mustard on them instead of throwing a 3 to 4 punch combination where the last shot on the combination is a hard shot, which would do more damage. He'd rather do like the mitt work on a guy that he, you know, as opposed to putting the guy away. And I'm not a fan of that kind of style.
To me, that's a very important word. You said style. It's not a habit. That's his style. That's how he fights. There is no, first off, Canelo will be his 22nd fight. I don't know the last time, B, that you've looked at his record. I mean, you really have, this is really, really, really about wanting to be the first four belt unified guy at 68.
Well, like, who is his best win? Porky Medina and Uzcata guy, right?
Correct.
Those are his two best wins?
Correct. Bro, I mean, his last fight was Caleb Truax.
Who's so like you, 176 years old.
Correct. He's pushing 40. He's got 98 losses. Couldn't get him out of there. Bro, this guy fought Mike Lee from the Subway commercials. That my brother texted me, yo, is this guy a real fighter? Or is Subway putting that on there like as a gimmick?
It was a gimmick, right?
And I was,
he's a real fighter, or was. Yes. I think he retired. Yeah.
He was
a Notre Dame graduate, and he was on their boxing team, like one of the few colleges, university that has a boxing team.
Awful. And I know how we are with like trying to be careful with our words and everyone that gets in
sucked.
There.
I mean, he fucked me up.
I mean, not if we had bricks in our hands. But listen, Canelo,
a guy of Caleb Plant's skill level and ranking at the time of when those fights happened should never have shared a ring with fighters like that.
Correct.
So that's wasted time.
And how these fights are sold, because you know that fights that
this is Heyman. This is
listen. You're right, but fights that do well, the way they do well is getting casual fans involved.
Yes.
Now, what happens when you get casual fans involved is there's this leap. Well, he has to be good if he's fighting Canelo. So I'm getting DMs from kids like, what do you think, man? He sounds pretty convincing. And I'm like, my man, have you watched him though? Right. This work you're talking about, this mitt work style, 6-7-8 punch combinations with nothing on them.
He's not going to hang in the pocket that long.
He's not.
With Canelo. Well,
I know what he's going to do.
If he tries to do that, which like you said, if this is his style and not a habit, and he doesn't make a U-turn at this style, which is very difficult to do at this stage in his career.
Correct.
If he hangs around in the pocket with Canelo like that, at the third punch in that combination, Canelo, who's a fantastic counterpuncher, okay, is going to cave his face in like he did Billy Joe Saunders, who got cute and got caught, okay?
Off topic, but on topic, I think Billy Joe Saunders is better than...
Is better than Caleb Plant.
Caleb Plant. Okay, but that's neither here nor
there. Right.
Listen, here's the thing. When we talk about... When we break fights down, we say, this is how we feel... This is what we feel this guy needs to do to win. The keys to victory, right? Everything you can put in front of me now, if I said to you, B, look... I'm assuming you're picking Canelo, but let's say
I'm picking Canelo.
But let's know what I'm saying is, let's say you're going to give me your keys to victory for Caleb Plant.
Okay.
I would have a counter for all of them.
Right.
We know from off rip, he doesn't have the power to keep Canelo off of him, and the times he lost there. Look, the Floyd fight. I know that when you say, well, he was just a kid, people don't like that, okay? Let's take that away, right? Let's take that away, that he was young. You're still talking about Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, so the
there's no shame in that loss.
No, and the stigma that, well... pure boxers or brilliant defensive fighters he's going to have problems with, because the Erislandy Lada fight that I thought Lada did really well in. I also think Erislandy Lada at that time, when he was in his prime, is way better than Caleb Plant. So these you have to understand right. that when you're making these comparisons, these two fights where you went, Floyd didn't give him trouble. He absolutely put him on a clinic. But Arislandi Lada definitely gave him trouble, even if you gave Condon
sure.
a win. I believe I had a 115-113 for Lada, but I don't think it was a robbery because it was nip and tuck, switch right. a couple rounds here, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? But you also like...
Depends on how you scored Canelo's body work in that fight.
Correct, correct. And a lot of people certain judges don't give credit as right. much as they should to that work. And he was destroying the body. You know what I mean? Right. So if you gave him 6 rounds just off his body work, I'm not mad at that. But right. there's also enough mustard on Lada's punches, not that he's destructive, but to make you say, hey, I don't want to get hit again.
Right.
I don't believe Plant even has that much power. I believe that we are going to see a more destructive, a much more destructive version of Stevenson Herring.
You think Canelo's going to be on him like smelling shit?
Yes, and
he's
I think
be
he's
all
gonna,
over him from Jump Street.
I think he has no fear of letting him touch him early to see, okay, what kind of mustard does he have on his shots? And that goes into he downloads that info into the database and says, all right, he doesn't have shit on his shots. And you're talking about one of the great, you know, we don't like to make these like grandiose statements, and there is a hyperbole there. But I mean, unless something at the end of his career happens, he's going to go down as having one of the greatest chins ever. Especially when you talk about guys he fought, whether they were older, whether he fought.
He's got a great chin.
A little bit past his prime, Golovkin, who was landing clean shots on the button, and right. he didn't budge. I don't care if you think Kovalev was shot; he still hit like a mule.
Right.
Other dudes will hit like, look, man, yes, did he knock the soul out of James Kirkland? He knocked the soul out of him. I saw it leave. He still hits like a mule. You're talking about, you know, Cotto right. had modest power, and they were sitting sure. on the inside, and he was walking through punches. What's this kid right. going to do? What's this kid going to do? And Canelo used to kind of be like,
he certainly doesn't have more power than Callum Smith. So Canelo in this recent run of Canelo, because Canelo's, you know, his career, you can almost break down into thirds.
I agree. I want to build on that, but go ahead.
So this recent run, we are now seeing a Canelo, from what I gather and understand, doesn't suck that much weight. I think he's only dropping like 12 pounds per camp. He looks in shape in social gatherings, like a wedding.
He walks around at 185. You're saying?
Right. 185. So okay. 180,
you're saying 180. Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm sure real boxing people will write me and be like, no. I can see by what his face looks like. This.
Yeah,
looks,
yeah, you know? Yeah. Whether someone's gaunt or they're not gaunt.
And they know better than me, and I'm not going to pretend I know better than them. But
you and I are both just guessing that he right. stays. So, he definitely doesn't blow up.
Doesn't blow up. He's always in the gym, similar to the guy we just previously talked about, Boots, teaching, hanging out. He's a gym rat, Canelo. This is all he knows. To his credit, Caleb Plant also seems to be a gym rat.
I agree.
In the gym, he stays fit. He stays ready. He doesn't blow up. He doesn't have a detrimental lifestyle.
Does not.
So I tip my hat to him for that.
Absolutely.
We're going to get towards, so this portion of Canelo's career, Canelo is now, again, it's another example we use as a guy who now is using offense as defense.
Correct.
Smaller guy that's moved up who's now correct. Using offense as defense.
He and is usually looking up and punching upward at right. this weight.
At this stage, he has employed this gorgeous, and I don't know if he took it from a previous opponent in Miguel Cotto, because Miguel Cotto, and I know you're not a huge fan, His Miguel Cotto's shotgun jab was one of the best. Miguel Cotto was a orthodox fighter, but he's left-handed. So his lead hand was actually his power hand.
Like Winnie the Paz.
Like Winnie the Paz. Like mm-hmm. Oscar De La Hoya, mm-hmm. Winnie the Paz,
right.
And Miguel Cotto.
Please put me in the pantheon.
Same sentence. All right.
In the pantheon of guys who fight orthodox.
Vinny, this little window here doesn't fit your ego right now.
Sorry,
hold on.
My apologies.
Billy, producer Billy, can you blow up Vinny's window? Because it just came outside
you.
Of my head. With that said, Canelo, as a smaller guy, appears to be much more athletic than the bigger people that he's fighting. He comes off his back foot like a bat out of hell now. And
I lost you.
Did you? Hello?
No. By the video, I lost you. It was weird. All I saw was you and not me and Billy's headshot.
Oh, okay.
I love where you're going with this, too. I love. So, this is the same path I was going to go.
So Canelo now is a smaller guy fighting in these bigger divisions. He has used this to an advantage. He's a relatively small 68 pounder at like five. I believe he's like 5'9".
He is
listed at, and he comes up underneath their high guard with this jab.
Yes, and up jab.
This up jab off his back foot, and it's almost like he's sort of jumping and he's quicker.
Yep.
And also he feints that jab. So they, because it's like a power punch, they put their hands up and he comes around their guard now with this beautiful left hook. And when he feints the jab, comes with the left hook, if you watch, he takes a step back and looks like he's going to go back to the left hook. They put their hand up and he comes with the right hand into the body. So it is destructive on every sense, because if he's going to land a jab, it doesn't, and it doesn't. None of that is waste. There's no wasted energy anymore either. It's all you watch him, like you said, downloading. He's moving. He's slipping his way in. He's using what he had ahead of time, and he's moving in. And when he does
all this stuff. Well, I was gonna say we're gonna get into it, but we are into it. But that up jab that you're talking about, and you brought up Cotto, and historically people with that power jab I'm not going to call it a power punch. Some guys will drop a guy with a nice clean power jab. They won't be hurt. It'll be a flash knockdown, but they'll get put on their back pockets and go whoa. Now that sets up what you talked about. That feint, that power jab is so powerful and disrupts everything that they were about to do that they are so concerned with getting hit by it. Whereas some people that paw with it or just use it to blind you, both things that I'm not mad at if you do that.
No.
Because some people do that. Some people just paw as a range finder. Some people use it only to blind you to come right behind it, but he is using it like you said. If he's hitting with a hook or a straight right at 10, that power jab coming in about a 7.5.
Right. So what it is he's giving up reach on these guys, right? So he's got to get in. And the way to get in for him is to come up and through with that jab, and it's because he's quicker. He's more explosive.
These things, but getting inside in and of itself is an art. Are you going to cover up and slip and customato slip, rip the body, come? Is that how you're going to come in? Or he does it more beautifully with that jab that you're talking about, which, like you said, this isn't somebody who's been doing this since we saw him as a kid. That's why you said we're going to break this guy's down, who's only, 30? Is he 31. 30 yet?
Yeah.
So you're talking about three careers. This is a guy who, 10 years ago, this guy, fucking guy's feet are in quicksand. This guy doesn't move his fucking head. This guy, da-da-da. So that's why when you're saying these people that are saying, well, look what Floyd did, look what Lara did, look what X, no. This guy's a different machine. There's not many people historically that you can say, hey, well, he's like blah, 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 because not many people got this much better and said, I want to get better. I can stay at a high level where I'm at, but I want to fucking get better. And
Vin, he was the big lumbering kid then.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Now he's the He's the fleet of foot
yes. veteran.
So it's again, it's this is a different fighter. He's like a tailback. You know what I mean? Like in the, you know, at the way he moves now.
Yes.
You know, and he's shaking linebackers. You know what I'm saying?
But if you told me that this kid, right, whatever fight you want to pick from years ago, right?
Right.
All that he's won, the offensive line, that this kid would be throwing one of the most beautiful pull counters I've he pulls and counters right up the middle with that right.
Right.
That pull counter, it's so subtle that I'll be honest with you, you have to watch it in slow motion unless you have the eye to see
I remember watching it in the Cotto fight.
Yes, that's when I first said, is this motherfucker who couldn't move his head and his feet were in quicksand actually? And Cotto, who has not super Gary Russell fast hands, but solid hand speed.
And really good feet. And
solid
really
hand
good,
speed.
Real, and really good distance closing feet. That was the best thing about Cotto, I thought, and not to get into a deep dive on Cotto, was that maybe people were faster than him. His feet, where he could close distance on you, I don't know if anybody moved faster going forward than Miguel Cotto when he was in his prime in that division. So again, and to kind of bring this back to Shakur Stevenson, so we saw Canelo fight a certain way against Cotto, an aging veteran, right? He sort of kept that style, okay, since that Cotto fight, he found success with it.
Yes.
Maybe Shakur keeps that style against it, found success against an aging veteran. Now we'll try to employ that.
Implement our
opponents going forward. Back to this. With that said, Caleb Plant has fast hands. He's a fast fighter. He's got good feet. He's athletic. He's certainly more athletic than Callum Smith. He's not as powerful.
He throws a very, very, very fast jab. And a nice
very fast jab. Nice flick jab. Get your attention. He changes speed on the jab nice. I've seen him kind of throw the dummy jab.
Yes.
Okay. Hook off of that dummy jab, follow with the right hand and pull out.
Yeah.
And he gets out. And that's when I like a Caleb Plant. Okay. When he does those three things, those three punches, bum, bum, very basic, and gets out and moves. And his hands are up, right? Hands are up, and he's in defensive position. What I don't like Caleb Plant is when he goes like, bat, 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 bat,
correct.
You know, mug to the camera. Bat, 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 bat.
Mug to whoever's calling the fight at PBC. Right. Talk to him.
And it's like, dude, I didn't like when Floyd used to do that shit.
No. Of course not. Of course not.
But the difference was when Floyd did it, at the end of that combination, mustard and steam on that last shot. And the guy's like,
and then out of there.
Yeah, and then you know, whatever he had to do, you know, that kind of shit is like, in recent years, like Broner-esque to me. Like, I liked it when Floyd did it oftentimes, if he put that shot on the end, you know what I mean?
He put that shot on the end, he busted them up, and he was fucking great.
And he was great, right.
Hey, man, I brought him up earlier. You just brought him up again. I see a lot of Adrian Broner in this kid. Now, I'm not talking about outside the ring.
Not outside the ring.
We don't know him. You know what I mean? We know a lot of people in this sport. We don't have a connection to him, a direct plug to say, oh, we kicked it with him at this, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Me saying I don't like him is I don't like how he's talked. I don't the mouthy shit. I did the press conference thing. I also wanted to bring up real quick, I think he is definitely, you know, when we've talked about in the past, I think we talked about it with Wilder. Hey, when he gets sparked out, he's going to use XYZ as an excuse. I think the little scar is already a built-in.
Right. Like
eye opened up in the third and I couldn't see. And that's I'm just throwing that out there because.
Hang on. But this goes into not even that press conference, part of my prediction that I have noticed this about Plant. He busts up.
Mm-hmm.
Plant busts up. Mm-hmm. So if you bust up, and which he does, that doesn't bode well against Canelo.
He's like
a shark in water. He's going to smell blood. He's going to target that whatever is busted up. So I talked about the things that I think Canelo are going to do well, and I'm predicting a Canelo victory, a wide either stoppage somewhere between the 8th and 11th round. I'm being a little bit more specific. Usually I say, the latter half.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? And let's kind of flip the script a little bit. I don't even know if you want to do this. What do you think Plant has to do in order to stay competitive and win?
Do you remember those little flashes that Smith had against him? Not Callum. Yes. Beefy. Who's Beefy?
Right.
A brother, younger brother that's got the gray hair.
Yeah.
You remember he had some success?
Sure.
At least the optics were that. Now, to me, I know Canelo was going. But right. I know. The optics were that there were some flashes of success.
Right.
I believe the optics are going to be that Plant is going to do the things that you don't like and I don't like, and Canelo is going to allow it. I don't think he's going. We're talking about this
as setting a trap. He's going to let him do
yes, that. Yes, I don't believe he's going
to wait for the big counters.
This not new, but newer head movement that we like. This improved footwork that we like. Right. I think first three rounds, earmuffs. And Plant's he's gonna let him get some confidence. And like you're talking about the counters, I don't think he counters right away. In the 1, 2, and 3, I think he's earmuffs. He lets him pop that hook off the jab that you're talking about. Right. I think he's catching it all. Does a right sneak in there and touch him? Maybe. He's got pretty fast hands, Plant. We both agree about that.
Right.
Pretty fast hands, nice jab. Maybe something gets in through all that. We both think he's got no mustard on his shots. I don't know. Maybe he'll prove us wrong. I don't think he's got any mustard on his shots.
Right. I've seen him land a couple good punches, and where I think it was Katagai he put down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think for three rounds, then I think 3 and 4, I think he starts pulling and countering. The pull counter, with the right.
So I agree with you. I think over the course of the first four rounds, we're going to see Plant with some success. I think that Canelo is going to allow him to get comfortable.
Agreed. That's what I was looking for. I didn't say it properly.
And throwing these what I'm going to refer to now, I'm going to coin it, these long-winded combinations, mm-hmm. where – now, when this guy goes to throw his 5-punch combination on Canelo, at the 4th punch, Canelo's going to drop his elbow down and come back.
Yeah,
and then he's gonna get his hand up and come back, or like you said, pull and come back with the counter, and then that's gonna change the game, and then that's gonna set the table.
Yep.
For what we talked about before, which is now there's gonna be a little distance, right? So okay, Plant, I don't like being in the pocket anymore with him. So let me flick my jab from the outside. And that's when Plant, in my opinion, two things are going to happen. One, he's going to leave that jab hand out too long. Canelo's going to counter over the top with a left hook. Or B, Canelo's going to slip under the jab and come up with his own jab into Plant's chin. And then that's going to get Plant to freeze. And he's going to do that. And then, as you said before, start to work the feints. And when he starts to work the feints, we're going to see everything else.
Well, you brought up those beautiful feints. I just brought up how the power jab you mentioned, that you said maybe he got it from Goto, how important that is for the feint. Because
right.
Some guys throw feints, and I'm like, you understand that they're not feeling it.
Right. If they don't react to the feint, you got to do something else. Yeah.
You got to do something else, whatever right. that is, because there's – because smart fighters have A, B, C, D, B, F, G, H, I, D.
Right.
And so, right. Look, there's also something with Plant that we don't need to tell Canelo to do this. you brought it up with his body work against a Lara that may have gone underappreciated. Well, it didn't on the scorecards, but we've never seen him get ripped to the body. Plant, you want one of those long shot Vegas calls? He could be doing so much up top that those feints you're talking about, then bang, go downstairs. Wow.
Right.
And just this dude feels like he just got hit in the stomach with a bat.
And again, to your point about the success in the beginning of the fight where we're going to see Canelo catching, who knows? Yes. Maybe he might put a couple downtown.
I do think he will.
You know, bang, bang.
I misspoke when I said.
Just to keep him honest, bap, bap, you know, bap, bap.
And that, when that, I said that, he might have some success, B, I didn't mean to say. Some guys admittedly say, I'm doing nothing for like three or four rounds. Some guys admit it. I'm downloading information. Now, you and I agree that you're giving away too much there for that long. Right, and time runs out. You know, look at Lomachenko, even though it was a shoulder thing. But if it wasn't a shoulder thing, he was just, all right, I'm figuring this out, and was winning easily the second half of the fight. And then you go, well, if you have on your cards, you gave away five or six.
Right.
It's don't be mad at a draw here. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But yeah, the guy takes around at the end.
Canelo
right.
was not going to stand there like I did. I said earmuffs. I take that back. I misspoke. It's going to be earmuffs, and he's going to come off of them. Because I've seen him in a pure defensive stance where you think I'm only looking to pick off these shots, and I've seen him come back with shit off of that super defensive tucked elbows,
right?
You know, and in a peekaboo stance, but all of a sudden the pull counter comes, even though I'm saying he's going to allow him to do that and allow him some confidence. This is a very smart guy who's not going to see an opening and not take it. If that comes, he's going to fucking park him. I'm just saying, oh, let me see if this guy's got any zip. And of course, it at all. But if it's the second round and there's a pull counter and this guy's chin is sitting there, you know.
Good night.
Right. Look, man, you're just talking about someone who had all we really have to talk about at the end of the day, and we don't know, is does this kid have a sturdy chin, you know? And and what does that mean against Canelo? Because there's some guys with sturdy chins that went Betty by or quit or my eyes broke or this and that.
I don't believe as a professional Plant's been down. So that tells me he has. I mean, you know, you fight a lot of rounds as a young guy.
But again, Vin,
guys get, you know, a flash knockdown.
No,
here and
of course,
there, you know,
of course, Oskar can punch.
Right, I haven't heard anything.
No, I understand.
That,
you're right.
That comes out like, oh, in the, you know, this he got his head flown in fucking in this gym or that gym. But so let's just put it there and say he's got, from what we can tell, from what we know, a decent chin. Right.
He definitely does not have a brittle chin.
No.
I
know that he's spoken. He does have hand problems. I know he's broken his hand before.
Mm-hmm. Does not bode well. Look, if you told me earlier, you mentioned that, you know, there might be some scar tissue problems there. If you looked at our top 10, the knock him out the box, pound for pound top 10, if you said to me, Vin, of these 10 guys, as an opponent, who would you least want to see have scar tissue or cut up easily? It would be Canelo.
Right.
Who of these top 10 do you think would be worse to have brittle hands or hand problems against? It would probably be Canelo. So this guy's going in with things, and whatever the scar thing, I don't know what hit him at that press conference. Was a ring on Canelo's hand?
He had sunglasses on.
It was the rim of the sunglasses,
And Canelo hit him with heat. He slapped Canelo and then tried to slip, and Canelo hit him with the hook, and It looks like it.
But what it's worth, to me, it's very prominent. It's healed, but very prominent.
Very prominent.
And for guys like you and I that get something like that, yeah, you put whatever on it, and eventually it'll fade. Maybe this is going to be open by
what's crazy is, so you and I are two regular Joes, right? Like we're not fighters, right? We don't have millions of dollars riding on a fight. Right. You would think that there is some poultice or something that they could put on this guy's fucking eye to quickly fucking heal that shit.
Yes.
And I still see it. Like I still see the mark.
I don't feel like I'm overselling by using the word prominent. I saw him when they got there, you know, like the day where they land, you know what I'm saying?
Because right.
You know, he's got a baseball hat on and he's talking and it's right there.
You can't help but look at it.
You know how good camera phones are in 2021. Sure. You're talking about high quality HD shot. The picture that I saw wasn't meant to show this. It was a picture of like, yo, Caleb Plant's here. It was like one of those fucking Showtime
shots. Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, look at Son's eye. Now, so what I said about, is Canelo gonna just sort of earmuffs, poke and prod, hey yo, poke and prod for three, see what he's got? If he does anything at all, B, if he pops that jab that you love, that power jab, I don't see that thing not opening up in one, two, or three. Forget the discussion of, is this thing gonna open up? It's not up for debate, in my opinion. It's not up for debate whether that thing opens up.
So Vin, what if they're on the inside, Canelo's shorter, his head comes up and just touches it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure.
There's a bunch of variables. This to me is a very dangerous thing. But again, it is below the eye.
A trainer, a boxing guy, a cut man like Stitch Duran will tell you, for what it's worth, there are no good cuts, but it's not in a, as they say, it's not in a bad place.
It's not in a bad place, right?
It's below his eye. It takes a lot for those type of cuts, because it's going to become one, to swell to the point of, this is an issue. I don't mean an issue for a fighter. Any cut's an issue for a fighter. I mean an issue of, we got to stop this. But yo, if he's got to paw at that thing, B, he's got to start pawing at it, and it starts becoming annoying, and that starts to,
if it flaps over and they have to stop it, you know what I mean?
Just
if
you saying that word just almost made me puke.
If it's like white meat, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think this gets stopped because of that. If it gets stopped because of that eye, I think it's because of destructive punches that had nothing to do with that little, not little, no, you know, that scar.
If that motherfucker pops open,
it's right. It's right on the orbital bone. If he breaks his orbital bone, like Paulie's orbital bone in the Cotto fight, imagine that with a pre-existing scar. The guy's in trouble.
So
are we still? I mean, what do we? I'm not saying wrapping up the show. But are we wrapping up what we think happens here? I think he's pawing. I think he's seeing what the kid has. I think he's pawing. Me too. I think he's not throwing, you know, those destructive combos he puts together that the flat people. I don't think he's putting any of them together. I think he's jabbing. I think he's throwing a right hand behind it, seeing what the kid does, seeing how he reacts to the right hand coming at him, downloading that. So then he knows how to counter the counter, which is what thinking fighters think. I think the pull counter is going to be huge. You think the counter hook is going to be huge, or you think?
Two things. The counter hook is going to be big, but that lead hook where he sort of like slides his feet and
almost jumps into it a la Joe Frazier. Not quite as unathletic, even though we love Joe, but Joe would basically jump into that.
Jump, Yeah, like you
Canelo
know,
does it, but a little bit more, a little and again, bit more athleticism in it.
Not and again, not to oversell Canelo's athleticism, but like more like a la Ray Robinson, a jumping hook.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a beautiful thing when it lands.
It is. It is.
I think that's when Canelo really has you confused. Again, and it's to me all set up by that big jab.
We think regardless of what our exact predictions are, which are coming right now, we both think everything's off that power jab and the feints. If it's not the actual jab, it's his reaction to the feint of the power jab and what he does. I think
you think that this is, which I do love, Vin, and I love that you point this out, because it is a thing of beauty, Canelo's pull counter. So
that's, I think he's going to pull counter and land a right and come back with the hook you love, and that's going to end it. I think there's going to be a pull counter.
And you don't mean end it like on one punch. You mean end it in like this is where the tide changes? Or do you mean he's going to knock him out flat and that's it?
I think he knocks him out. Okay. And I think how it happens is a pull counter, right?
Okay.
So I think it's a 2-3 that ends it.
Vin, you look, and again, I don't even really like you, so I don't like blowing smoke.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I hate your guts.
Listen, if I fucking could have anyone else in the world to do a show with, I'd rather it be my dog. Anybody.
Right. Edgar probably does a better breakdown than me. Certainly has better equipment than me.
There's 3 billion people on this planet. I'm doing the podcast. That's why I hate the most.
I know. I'm so sorry that this had to happen to you.
Yeah.
But that's your luck. So that's a very specific prediction. And your predictions your predictions are getting better and better and more specific. And I tip my hat to you. And it's also
when they start becoming wrong, you look like a real bozo because I get horny to get specific.
Right.
I don't just pick around or something.
Right. That's, no, but you're putting yourself out there.
I am.
And I love you for it. That's all. I hate you for everything else.
I know.
But
I know.
I love you for that.
I'm all right with that.
All right. So, wow. How do I follow that?
No, I heard what you said earlier, and I'd like for you to re-say it because you jumped the gun and gave the prediction.
I did.
So I'd like for you to re-break it down and say what do you think?
My prediction is not
real quick. Do you think Plant's gonna have any success? Like what I mean that
yes.
in that type of success that Beefy had, where you're like to the optics.
I think there will be moments of success only because he is a high level fighter.
Do you understand what I'm saying by optics, by the way?
The
casual fans, because there's going to be lots.
Yes.
It's going to do a million. And there's going to be people going, look at that.
We are going to see, because my prediction is a stoppage via attrition. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas in it's going to either be cuts, it's going to be the guy's beat up, it's going to be a referee stop, an attrition stop.
See, I think that's a more realistic and probably more likely than mine.
But you are going to get this. Yo, dumbass Brendan, Plant had tons of success in the beginning. If he just kept doing that,
right.
He would have won the fight.
And the problem is he doesn't allow you to keep doing that.
So, again, he stopped doing that not because he wanted to, dumb fuck.
Right.
Future dumb fuck. So
right.
I'm hopping in the DeLorean calling people
dumb
fucks
right
now.
You're already vexed that the DMs haven't come in yet.
Right. So, listen, stupid, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, don't be stupid, you moron.
Right. The reason why he stopped doing the thing that was bringing him success in the beginning of the fight was because the guy across the ring stopped allowing him to do that. So, yes, there will be fool's gold success, so to speak, right? You're going to see Plant do well. You are not going to see him. You're going to see Plant do well, or at least appear to be doing well. And like you say, Canelo will be downloading and will be prepping his demise. So
if I have can add to it, okay, good. I'm sorry.
Rounds 8 through 11, fight stops. I don't think it goes the distance. 11, that late, only if Canelo takes a little longer to get started. But I'm leaning towards rounds 8 or 9, and this fight is over.
I think that...
It's over!
It's over, Johnny. I believe that the... I'm using the word loosely, as you did, that plants early success to the optics. I believe we just talked about, the reason these people stopped doing it is because the motherfucker stopped him. I believe he stops him from doing this, the optical success with that beautiful body work. And that makes him go, uh-oh. Then I believe Canelo becomes Canelo. The head movement, the counters, the improved footwork. I'm not going to call it great. He is good at cutting off a ring, which is trouble for Plant and his style.
Sure.
I believe in the 9th round, there's a pull counter right, followed by the left hook. Night, night.
Good night.
9th round.
9th round. Wow. All right, so we're both in the same roundage. We just think it's going to end differently. So, guys, listening at home, keeping tabs. Vinny's predicting an actual knockout, and I'm predicting a TKO stoppage attrition ending.
I think that's more realistic. I just am now going to continue the specificity of my. Of
like
predictions
it,
by saying, like it's fun to do, and then I can look like it's a bozo.
All right, so we're going to come, guys. I just want to let everybody out there know, because this is such a big weekend for boxing.
Yeah.
I will, as fun as this Canelo fight's going to be, I took a look at the undercard, and I'm not impressed. I think that these guys, they could do a lot better for a pay-per-view. Just putting it out there.
We agree.
I'm not happy about the undercard.
We're not happy about the state of undercards over the last...
Right.
I was just about to say a few decades, and then I stopped myself, and then I thought about it, and I said, no, don't stop yourself. It's been a few decades since the Don King.
So this is a shitty card. This is not good.
Yeah.
So I will probably
we're maniacs.
I will probably, because for this one, you know what? I'll tune in. I think we're going out for it. Me and the fellas that watched Fury. We have a nice little group now of all guys involved in boxing.
A bunch of ruffians. Miscreants, bunch of, ruffians.
A bunch of boxing people. Of course, minus me.
I think you should start with the ruffians, miscreants that happen to be criminals.
Boxing people. All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, we are going to come back next week. We're not signing off right now. I just want to let you guys know there are two huge fights November 13th. Jaime Munguia and Gabe Rosado, Philly's own Gabe Rosado.
Yeah.
Jaime Munguia. Gabe Rosado is not afflicted with the with the Puerto Rican chin. I think that has to do with him being from Philly, because Danny Garcia, who's also Puerto Rican, does not
very sturdy
from
chin.
The same,
those two chin. And Hector Camacho are maybe the only three.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Philadelphia.
We got some stuff in the water, you know what I mean?
So speaking of a former opponent, Caleb Plant, on the same night, of course.
Yep. David Benavides.
Right. Again, guys, competing cards, boxing, get your shit together.
Yep.
David Benavides and Jose Uzcategui will square off for a 12-rounder. Benavides, by the way, guys, is ranked number one.
I'm a Benavides guy. He isn't as much as me.
I am. No, I'm a big David Benavides guy. I'm not a Jose Benavides guy. I like David Benavides.
I met him in Philly. When he fought at the ECW arena, couldn't have been a nicer guy. That stuff will sway me, but I admit it, unlike other people. Other people will be cheerleaders and not tell you why. I like the kid.
Oh, if I meet someone I like him, of course I get behind him.
So
guys, we're going to come back next week and cover those fights and also do our big review of this Canelo
weekend
plan.
Yeah, a review. Yeah, you talked about the state of the sport. We said, hey, look, Boots called everybody out who won it.
Yeah.
And he means it, unlike other people. The Boutier fight, whatever, other news.
I would love to see that.
No, me too. That Rolly Romero bozo, there's a million sexual assault charges on him. He's a bozo. He would have got sparked out. I like that Isaac Cruz is in. How do you like that? I'm more excited, it's a better fight. Definitely.
Sure.
I would have liked to have seen Rolly Romero's head in the third row, which that's what would have happened.
Me too.
That's what would have happened.
I that would have been bad for Romero. I almost think this is like a setup to save him.
Did Correct send you him doing mitt work?
Yeah.
Oh boy. He's not good, bro.
No.
At all.
No, I'm curious as to he talked his way into a whole bunch of shit.
I believe
last episode you pointed out Tank's resume because I think we previewed this.
Correct.
It's not where it should be.
No.
It needs to improve, and it needs to improve soon because I think people will stop buying into he sells tickets. That's the thing, and he sells pay-per-views.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I think the markets are important.
I'm right.
I think Atlanta, I think those like those markets where heads go and want to be seen.
He's like a socialite style guy now. Yeah, you're right. He's on the scene.
Yes. I think he can fight Cairns for another few years. I honestly do.
Fuck. All right. Well, because this, and again, I don't, you know, we really can't, I can't wait to talk to you about this next week. So I'm excited. Yeah. But every week I have a recommendation. And what I want you guys to do, and write us in at keotbboxing@gmail.com, keotbboxing@gmail.com, or find us on social media. I want you guys, if you can, watch a few fights from the Super Six tournament, which occurred in 2009, 2010. And that was, of course, the one that was the springboard for Andre Ward's stardom.
Yes. Mikkel Kessler was in there.
This was an incredible, 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 basically, event. Carl Froch
was in there. Arthur Abraham.
Jermaine Taylor essentially got... This was it for him. Arthur Abraham scored a... Andre Durrell, Andre Ward. So it was two Americans, an Armenian fighting out of Germany, a guy from Denmark in Mikkel Kessler, who I rate very highly.
So do I.
I was a big fan of Kessler.
So was I.
And Calzaghe's victory over Kessler made me a big, huge Calzaghe fan.
You're talking turkey now.
I know.
You are. I love it.
And Carl Froch, this also made me a massive, massive Carl Froch fan. So, guys, what I want you guys to do, it's a little bit of homework, if you can, if you have time. I'd love to hear your thoughts, because we are getting some really good feedback to the show, and we really appreciate you guys listening.
At a few of these, because a few of them were in AC.
That's fucking awesome.
The main one was.
Were you?
Yep, Frock and Dre,
and Ward. You were at that fight.
Yep.
As what did Andre Ward describe hitting Carl Froch like? Was like hitting an oak tree. That's what he said. He said he's unmovable guy.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I want you guys. Because this big fight that we just covered, Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant, is for all the marbles. Are there any guys in that tournament that you think could beat either one of these guys? You know, doing a fantasy matchup.
Prime versus Prime.
Where would Canelo and Caleb Plant, if they had a Super Six tournament, where would they wind up in that tournament? And I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts. And if you guys write in, we'll. You only got a week to write in, guys. So we'll read that next week and we'll give our thoughts on it.
B, just to do our, you know, weekly, holy fuck, it was that long ago. December will be a decade since Frock Ward. Frock Ward, yeah. I mean, it started before that, the Super Six. Right, it led up to this. You know what I'm saying?
I was so excited for that. I mean, I remember, who was it? Was it Arthur Abraham and Andre Durrell was the controversial fight, correct? Where
I think so. It's hard for me.
Yeah, Durrell sort of quit. Abraham hit him when he was down, kind of. It was a very controversial. They started calling him headaches, Durrell. They wouldn't produce the doctor's note that said he had like this concussion. You know, it was his character was called into question.
Yes.
Andre Ward. I remember I thought Kessler was going to beat Ward. And boy, was I wrong.
I certainly was rooting for Mikkel Kessler, and boy, was I wrong.
Right. I mean, incredible. Just an incredible, incredible.
Incredible run that Dre had from that
really
on.
Cool. And again, guys, so I after the Usyk-Joshua fight, I recommended watching that tournament that Usyk won. This
cruiser.
Was it was a similar thing, if you guys recall. And it was, I don't know about you, Vin, but I was like, I was over the moon for this thing.
Oh, I almost couldn't believe it. Wait, all these good guys are going to fight each other.
They're going to fight each other.
What
the
fuck are you talking about? It would be a round robin of the 47, the guys
with Bud
in it.
While this was happening, that was in the mix to do a from, and I have good sources. And then PBC popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys signed with PBC. And PBC initially was going to have something like that. The idea with PBC, and not to get too long-winded really quick, and we're going to end it at that, was that Heyman's prediction was everyone would sign on with PBC. Mm-hmm. And he'd have them all, and then they'd all be able to fight on regular TV during the day. That was the plan. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you. We enjoyed doing this.
We really do. This was a fun episode.
On Twitter, at Vinny_Paz. On Instagram, it's Boxcutter Pazzy. There's a new Jedi Mind Trick single out now called Secondhand Smoke. If you want to check that out, album coming soon and later this month. B, hit them up with your Twitter and IG.
At TheKillerB24 on Twitter. And at I_no_that_kid on IG, which everybody seems to love, by the way.
I
get a lot
it.
Of compliments like my
no,
British
you
accent.
Don't. No, you don't.
Yeah. I do.
Will you sound better next episode? Is the real question.
Oh, my God. Guys, I apologize for this. I don't know. Before next week, I'm going to figure this whole thing out. So
chop, chop, Gunga Dan.
I'll send him a mic.
Why don't you do that?
Irish Billy, get out of here.
Look, he decides to show up this week.
And then he disappears as quick as he came in.
He just woke up.
Yeah, he did. You see how groggy he looked?
Yeah, he just woke up. Yeah. He just woke up. The most excited and animated we've been since doing this show. Mm-hmm. This guy sleeps through it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing work this entire 17-hour podcast.
You've been doing work. This is work.
How dare you?
You're working on our dime?
How dare you on all of those accounts?
Double dipping, guys. It's called.
All right.
Enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace. Knock 'em out the box. Knock 'em out the box, man.